Than Blue by Willis and Shantae, who performed last Sunday, March the 25th, 2012, at the Exchange, downtown Los Angeles. A great show, and we at Drama Stage Qumran would like to express our most heartwarming thanks to Willis and Shantae of Positive Light Ministry. A great show. Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, and I'm in the studio with my two co-hosts, Earlene Anthony and Tyrone Robinson. This week, we will be talking about the cultural life of the downtown community with Manuel OG Man Capito, Lynn Rossi, Coach Ron Crockett, and Miss Emily. But right now, I'm on the line with Georgiana Williams to talk about the Unity Rally in remembrance of the 1992 Los Angeles civil unrest. This will be held Saturday, April the 25th, 2012, 12 noon to 5 p.m. with keynote speakers Maxine Waters and you, Georgiana Williams. Georgiana, welcome to the Qumran Report.
Thank you, Melvin. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Can you tell us a little about the event?
Yes, I decided to do something in the community because I see very little changes since the 1992 rebellion. To those who live over there, we know that the oppressor is still oppressing the people. Our kids are still coming out of high school and can't read. We know that drugs and gangs is still in the area. Other people come in the community and open up a business, and they never offer or give someone in the community a job. So I would like to see some changes. Well, we don't have any after-school activities, and I was over there on the weekend, and I told them, Melvin, that you had a teacher who would be willing to come in the community and start an after-school program. So the ones that I talked to was very excited and hope that they'll get a chance to meet her on Sunday. And the police still killing our Mexican brothers and our black brothers. They still sending Bill in prison, and we don't need no prison. We need school. So the only way to get make a change, we have to step forward. We got to stop depending on the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right about that. And so you haven't seen that much of a change in the area since
No, very little. Very mm-hmm. little change. Yeah, there's still no jobs. Kids can't read. The gangs are there. They're not bad like they used to be, but we know that the drugs is there.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you know, people have business over there, but they don't give African-Americans and our Mexican brothers and sisters jobs. Mm-hmm. It's always from their own family. So I say they coming into the community, they making money, and they taking it back out, and we still see poverty everywhere over there. Poverty, mm-hmm. poverty, poverty. You see homeless people sleeping on the beach, on the bus bench, and sometimes they just laying down on the freeway. So mm-hmm. the oppressor's hand is still oppressing people.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us, let me ask you this. How can we help all the our young men that's coming back to prison and trying to adjust back to the community?
I think we can educate them if enough people get involved and encourage them and talk to them and let them know that being in the gang, we have a gang to ceasefire, and they're talking to them and they're helping them get jobs. And I just think if we start with them when they little, then when they get 18, 19, 20, we're not going to have that problem.
Mm-hmm. Are the churches and the masjids and the synagogues, are they involved in the programs in there?
No. No. And no Jewish people down there for a synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know any of the churches are involved in what's going on in the streets.
Okay. What do you think it would take to get some after-school programs in that area?
We really need the politicians to get involved, and we need people who can organize. Like, we'll need somebody to write some grants. We'll need a building. We need books. And they still don't give the kids no books over there. You go to school over there, they don't give no books. I live in Fontana, and my grandkids got more books than they can carry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we do have.
We got to organize, and it's going to take more than one person.
Yeah.
The street that I lived on, it breaks my heart when I go over there because it has gone down. When I was over there, I was always fussing and making them keep it clean and tell me your house needs painting and plant some grass seed. But now over there, it looks like the third world.
Yeah. And well, we do have an individual here in the studio. Coach Ron, who has a reading program. I'm going to ask him about that later on in the show. What would it take to put some kind of reading program and activities in that area? Now, can you tell us a little about the program, the event coming up on the 28th?
Okay, we're going to go to Florence and Normandy, and Pastor Andrews and Antoine Miller passed away. Pastor Miller passed at Faith United Methodist Church at 1718 West 108th Street. He allowed the LA 4 Plus to meet there every week. He went to court with us, and he also protests with us. So we would like to just, make sure that everyone remember him. And Antoine Miller was one of the LA 4 Pluses that got killed. Then we're going over to Florence and Norman and your band, and we're going to have a lot of food, and we're going to have music, we're going to have poetry, and we're going to have open mic, and we're going to talk about the problems. If someone have an idea they want to share, we want to hear it.
Yes, that's wonderful. Okay, let me see if Tyrone, and you have questions for Georgiana?
Georgiana, can you tell me something about that multicultural potluck you're going to be having?
Yes, we're going to have Mexican food and my kind of food and your kind of food and every kind of food they bring.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Now, can you give us your contact information for those who want to get more information?
310-590-6468. And everybody know I can cook.
Okay.
And everybody know everybody in the neighborhood say mama and grandma, so don't ask me. I'm in the kids you got. I'm like the lady in the shoe. I got so many, I don't know what to do.
All right, George Hannah.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much, George Hannah.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Georgiana Williams, great event that we're looking forward to. Now, I'm delighted to have with us in the studio artist, activist, and one of the driving forces behind the 3-on-3 basketball league at Gladys Park, Manuel O.G. Man Capito. O.G., welcome to the Coonrown Report.
Well, thank you very much. I've been looking forward to getting there, Melvin.
All right. Now, first of all, tell us, how did you get down here in the Skid Row area?
Well, I came back from New York. I was out there, and I had a case, 8-year-old case. So I got extradited back out here in 93. And I came back out here to do my time. Ended up back out here. I'm born and raised here. And couldn't find my way back to New York because of political reasons, probation department, parole department, things of that nature. So I ended up, you know, staying here in California with my family. And came on down here to Skid Row because I wanted to, you know, have something of my own down here, you know, low income and stuff like that. So I ended up down here. And then I got involved with Lillian Carmari, which is the SRO art project. And then I got involved with the Lamp Art Project. And things just went on and on. You know, I ended up writing Peace in the Hood, you know, by my coloring book. Mm-hmm. And then in 2000, we got involved with Structure and OGs and Service Association, trying to uplift the men on Skid Row. And that's what kind of kept me here. I haven't got away yet. Still mm-hmm. trying to get away.
Let me ask you this. What is the biggest change you've seen in the Skid Row area since you've been down here?
Probably the grassroots movement, the positive movement. You know, when I got down here, most of the voices that were being heard off of Skid Row came from the local service providers. You didn't have no grassroots movement. And it was some activism. It was some brothers that have been members of the Black Panther Party, Nation of Islam, you know, involved in different kind of organization. They had organizational skills, so that's basically what OGs and Service Association was about, to create a grassroots organization where self-help would be the motivating force, you know, so we can lift ourselves up. And from there on, you know, you've been hearing about General Jeff, you know, you got Coach Ron Crockett in the house, you know about Lawrence, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, even Miss Emily. I mean, it's been a snowball effect, you know, yourself, you know, Earl, mm-hmm. you know, we can just talk about a lot of other people that's not here today, but the grassroots movement is really what I see as changing Skid Row. That the people that on Skid Row are that's residents are starting to take pride in themselves and in building a community. You know, other things like the case study came out making a case for Skid Row culture. You know, for decades people said Skid Row was just a spot. You know. You go, like I always tell people, you can go to Texas, you can come down here and you see the jewelry district, the fashion district. You don't even see a sign saying you're now in the Skid Row. There's a reason for that. So again, this positive movement that's going on Skid Row, we're starting to take pride in our community. You know, even now when you're talking about cleaning up the streets, you know, we had to go clean up our own streets. So people are taking pride. That's what I see the major change. Also, our networking and partnerships with agencies, and you know, like I say, we just talked a little about Little Tokyo Law, all the law people moving down here, rather than being hatred and pointing fingers at them, you know, we're starting to collaborate and work together on building a new Skid Row.
Networking. Now, you were one of the driving forces behind the 3-on-3 basketball league. How did that come about?
I was listening to the lady you just had on the phone. One of the driving forces were gangs. You know, Skid Row has people from all over L.A., from all over around the world, come from different neighborhoods. And we wanted to work with some younger people. OGs and Services are 40 years old. So it started off just a simple tournament. But people came from everywhere. Different gang members came. You know, gang members that were on rivals at the time. And so we talked about it and said, just, you know, that's where our slogan came from. It's going to be more than just a game, because just to have the game, just for them to have respect for each other, it was going to have to be more than just a game. So when we seen all these different gang members come by, we talked to them. You know, I didn't even want to do it at first, you know, because this is going to be more than just a game. It's going to be too much work. And so I told them to go back and think about it. And they came back and they said they wanted to try. So when we put the structure together, I was talking to Charles Porter. I was saying, man, if we could get these people to work together, you know, you got gang members all throughout the United States, you know, over 500,000 of them. And if they begin to work together, they'll be their own solution. Could you imagine if 400,000 gang members just set a dollar aside every day?
I know. And you got an event coming up, right? Right? A basketball game coming up, 3-on-3, coming up soon in the next.
Yeah, this is our off season right now. And like I say, it's more than just a game. So we get involved. You know, Coach Ron's going to be talking about Fun Zone Reading Club, you know, Groom for Success. But off seasons, the league runs all year round. It's not a basketball league per se. We play basketball. Basketball is really just where everybody get together at, where people that probably would never met. But we're off season right now. Our actual season will start in July. So, but on the 21st of April, Pismo Beach, which is part of Skid Row 3-on-3. Most people wouldn't think you have a team from Pismo Beach. They'll be out here to play Pastor Doug. They have a great team, too. They'll be out here on April the 21st. So we haven't decided where we're going to play at. We might play in the URM, Union Rescue Mission, or we might play at Gladys Park, which is our home court. Depending on what the weather is. If it's going to be cold, we'll probably play indoors, which is another thing we talk about. Some of the things I've seen changing where people from the neighborhood go inside the gyms now and actually run our own programs, too, in partnership with those agencies.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you play inside of the gym, do it revert from 3-on-3 to 5-on-5 regular basketball, or do it still stay 3-on-3?
Well, 3-on-3 is what we started with. At Gladys Park, those that didn't know, in 2006, there was only two small courts. They were half courts. And so all we could play was 3-on-3. Since then, Nike has built us a full court, so we play 5-on-5, but the name of the league is still 3-on-3, but we play 5-on-5. And 3-on-3 is now like a special event, just like co-ed special event.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now how important is Michael Blaze in the Skid Row Photography Club to the programs that you're running down there?
Well, Michael Blaze and Skid Row Photography Club is another group that allows players to become involved in something else outside of basketball. You know, we try to encourage people, it's more than just a game. We know you can do more than just play basketball. So a lot of the players, like myself and Ron, you know, General Jeff, we're all members of the photography club. So now we get a chance to do our own film, do our own photography. When you go on our Facebook, you see our own stuff. So Michael Blaze, by encouraging that stuff, you know, allowed us to take another venue and set up another program. So, plus, Michael Blaze put stuff on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, hit Michael Blaze. You're going to see all kind of video. So, in that sense of getting the message out and allowing people to see what we're doing, he's been very important, you know, very supportive of what we do. So, you know, we consider, as a matter of fact, in the league, you don't have to be a player to be part of the league. The fans are part of the league. So, Michael Blaze is part of the league.
Mm-hmm. Now, another person, almost like the Chick Hearns.
Yeah, Skid Row
over there on there. It's Coach Ron. We're glad to have you in the station. Coach Ron, can you tell us a little about yourself in the famous Fun Zone Reading Club?
I would love to. And once again, just thank you. It's very honorable to be here. Drama Stations Qumran, the Qumran Report. Come on now, give it up, man. You're really making the general public aware of how they can get involved in assisting the homeless community here in downtown Los Angeles. Remember, Skid Row is the homeless capital of the United States of America. But back to the Fun Zone Reading Club, it really is a growth of the 3-on-3 Street Basketball League. Once all the men came together, we honor the motto, it's more than just a game. And for me, it's about being a service and meeting a need that's unmet. And Fun Zone Reading Club for homeless kids is just that. You will see that when homeless families, especially vets, when they're homeless, they have a disconnect from their educational pursuits. And we're seeking to meet that. And we're doing an excellent job at that.
Yeah. Now, we was talking to Ms. Georgiana Williams a few minutes ago on the phone, and she's really trying to do something in that area, Florence and Normandy, which was one of the hot spots for the riots, the unrest that jumped off in 1992. What would it take to create a reading program out there to help our young men, our young people get more involved in improving their reading abilities?
Well, what we'd like to do is a well-tested recipe for positive engagement, which is, you know, working with the pastors, working with community leaders, people who has a foothold in the community. We connect with them. We actually do a site visit, tour the community, let them know that, hey, we're in the community. We can be trusted. And what we provide is essential.
Yeah. And see, one of the things we want to do, since Maxine Waters would be the keynote speaker there that day, is we want to ask her for a building or something in that area and let her know about the individuals who have programs. Some of these programs we can bring from the downtown area to network with the community out there, like what we're talking about now. After school programs for young people, some computer rooms, you know, things like that they have in other communities. You know, it's the things that we always be fighting for down here in the Skid Row area. But let me just move on to Miss Emily. We'll come back. Miss Emily, have Miss Emily, she's dealing with the Grooming for Success. Can you tell us a little about that program?
Yes, I can. It's a pleasure to be here and talk about the Grooming for Success program. The Grooming for Success is really providing grooming, hair care services to the homeless in Skid Row. It provides services for men and for women. We do haircuts, blow-dry styles, facials for the men. And one of the things that's really a blessing to me about being down here in Skid Row and doing the service of Grooming for Success is the gratitude of the people once they receive the service. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are on their way to the doctor, to a job interview. Some of them are on their way out to get housing, and they are so grateful when they get a free haircut or they get their hair styled. They stand up and they just feel so much better. And they just tell us, you know, I feel so much better after getting this haircut. They look good. And as we all know, that do grooming for ourselves regularly, when you look good, you feel good.
Yeah. What is, you mentioned facial for men. What is that?
Yes, we groom the facial hair. We cut their beards and their mustaches and make sure that they look totally groomed and so that they can have a total look, you know, so that they are not going out looking raggedy or tattered. And as we go downtown on Skid Row and we pass through all of the hundreds of people who are just looking so lost and their hair is matted and uncombed and uncut for months at a time. And when we announce them, we're doing free haircuts, they come in and our lists are just long. And sometimes we can't even get to all of them. We can do like 20, 30, 40 people a day, you know, and cutting their hair and grooming them. And it just makes such a big difference downtown in Skid Row.
Yeah, great program.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we also have Lynn Rossi here in the studio with us, a photographer. Now, how did you get down in Skid Row? How did you get involved down here working?
Thank you for inviting me on the show. It's a great honor.
Oh, you're welcome.
I first found, I was living over in Lincoln Heights, and I was going through a lot of depression, and I was in recovery myself, and I looked online and I found out about Skid Row Photography Club, and I went down to my first meeting and met Michael Blaze and OG, and just kind of it re-inspired my life, and it really helped turn around my whole inspiration and my own, you know, need to heal. So to me, being part of the Skid Row artist community has always had a lot of personal value in my life.
Oh, yeah. Like to see some of your work displayed in some of the art galleries down there also. Okay, let's move back to OG Man. I want to talk a little. Can you tell us a little about the Artist Collective? What is that, and you know, what's happening with it now?
Well, Skid Row Artist Collective, for years, there have been, you got musicians, you got, singers, you got actors, you got comedians, you got people that do arts and craft. Me, myself, you know, I'm an artist, and I like to draw, I do acrylics and oils. And years past, there would always be somebody would come up with a program for the musicians local or for the actors, and some whatever happened to the money or whatever, the group would fall apart. So when Art Walk started, we were talking about, I just happened to go to a meeting with D-Link, and they were giving away some money and everything. I was upset about the fact that there were galleries down on Skid Row, all up on Main Street, because Main Street's part of Skid Row, but there were no artists from Skid Row being featured in none of the galleries, okay? Nobody was taking their portfolios or anything. And so I remember talking to Russell Brown and people from D-Link about the fact that Skid Row artists had gone unnoticed. So an event had happened. They asked me, could I pull some artists together at the last minute? And we pulled, you know, Crucial came on there with me. I know Ron was there with me. Mr. Washington, he's a DJ, you know, he was with me. And we went and did a small event. And then it led to us doing something at the Exchange and in an alleyway. They gave us the alleyway, the Harlem Place alleyway. And we set stages out there. We had arts and crafts. I mean, and inside we had, you know, featured artists, you know, clothing line, all kinds of stuff. We set it almost like a boutique, what we would have if we owned our own. Because that's what Skid Row artists need. We need our own. And we went on for about 3 or 4 months, you know, till, you know, Art Walk kind of got out of hand and stuff like that. But we was able to feature artists from all, you know, we call ourselves Hidden Treasures, because that's actually what we are. Mm-hmm. There are treasures down here, you know, just like Unero, you know, treasures down here that people have not seen. And it kind of goes along with what, you know, what we call community development.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact that you don't know there's a Skid Row artist down here has to do something with the way things are structured. You know, you got all these missions down here. These artists are in recovery sometimes. They're in the missions, but there's no art projects going on in there. And even if they are, there's no art shows being featured. You know, nothing's been done. Again, it goes back to OGs and service. Our thing is to uplift the people. Mm. So when you got all these talent down here that's being squashed, just like Miss Emily said, people walking around with matted hair. Come on. You know, where's the barber shops at? Where's the nail shops at? You know, it's not like it's not people down here don't have no money. Like these institutions got millions and millions of dollars. Yes. But it's, they're not set up to empower the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way in the world we should be walking around here with your hair ain't done. We ain't got no nail shop. Won't nobody give us no space for no nail shop. You know, mm-hmm. You know, and it go back to the lady was talking about one thing that Miss Georgia had put, we do got to get organized. But based on the same thing she's talking about, people having buildings, you know, they're not trying to give us a building down there. Where's all these black agencies and black businessmen, black commerce coming? Why is there no black own nothing down on Skid Row?
That's right.
You know, where's the M&Ms at? You know,
mm-hmm.
you know where's it at?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like people ain't got no money. So again, we got to invest in ourselves. You know, we got to organize, but we got to organize to the point where we invest in ourselves. If it's not but a dollar a day.
Mm.
Every community start doing that, we'll have some at the end of the year that we can go do something for ourselves. But if we keep waiting on the politicians to help us,
yeah,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And I know this is some of the things that, and I want to talk about him, introduce to individuals, because he always emphasized that when I hear him talking about the Skid Row area, and that's General Jeff with Issues and Solutions, and Charles Porter with USEF. Can you talk a little about how they involve with your organizations also?
Charles Porter, you know, who is with USEF, when we seen that it could be a basketball league. And again, it's not just basketball. It's an organization to bring people together. I went to Charles Porter because he's the commissioner. I'm one of the commissioners, and Charles Porter is another one of the commissioners. We kind of like the duo. You know, we like opposites. So being opposite, we're able to cover everything. General Jeff, he was with us in the very beginning, too, as well as Ron. He came on as a marketing director, okay? And you know, we all had that vision that the Skid Row 303 Street Ball League would be a business. It would be provide the vehicle, a way out for the men to own their own. If you really realize, understand the structure, the general do, every team is their own business, which goes for clothing line, you know, all kind of things that you want to do. You know, so Once the men can catch on to that and understand it's more than just about bouncing the ball, also they're entertainers. You know what I'm saying? They entertain the fans. So all that fighting and fussing, you know, like this year, we don't even use referees. Let's respect your own call. Somebody make a call, respect that. Because you don't have no referees when you're in a marriage. You don't have no referees when you're on a job. You know, we don't need referees in our life. We need to know how to learn how to take care of our own business. So General Jeff, Ron, Charles, they understand the structure. They help put together the structure, you know, and they understand our philosophy. You know, our winners and losers, we got 16 words a week, like teamwork, family, respect, you know, camaraderie, those type of things. And so that's what makes the organization run. And those are very key people in the organization.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people don't know, but you were right there at the beginning when Drama Stage Coonrown started, because you was in our first production.
Yeah, Surviving the Nickel, go on YouTube. My acting debut, Surviving the Nickel. I still haven't got a chance to do that backdrop for you. I want to do that backdrop. Turn me into an actor. But yeah, Drama Stage Coonrown, you know, we love you and everything. You know, even when we talk about Operation Facelift 2008, you know, your name, you know, Earl King, I done painted everything on there, you know, so y'all been around a lot. So y'all get a part of that whole positive movement. Even to be here today in Skid Row Studio, this shows that Skid Row is constantly moving forward. And also, everything that we do, you do, we're prototypes for the rest of the neighborhood and around the country. If we can do it on Skid Row, y'all should be able to do it out there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Now, can you tell us a little about the Skid Row Brigade?
Skid Row Brigade is like a special unit of OG's and Services. OG's and Services consist of 200 men, 40 years and over, okay, that wanted to do something for the community, basically uplift the community. We got tired of standing in people's lines. We said we create our own line. You know, we wanted to mentor to the kids and mentor to each other. So one of our events that we're well known for is Father the Affair / Juneteenth. That's what we're really known for, to promote responsible fatherhood. Because a lot of people think every man down here is a deadbeat dad, you know, and that's contrary to it. So, but during the year, you know, that's every June, but during the year, there's all kind of other issues come up. And there's a lot of men that's part of OG's Service that want to do something. So, how would I say, the Street Brigade is like the Spartans. You know, we step in and do what got to be done. So, that's why we got involved in the funky trash can campaign. Didn't nobody want to give Skid Row no trash can. You know, everybody ride around, come through. Everybody that's out there and listening, when you come through Skid Row, you see all that garbage on the street, ask yourself, do you see any garbage cans? And for a neighborhood to be deprived of garbage cans, they're trying to put us in that situation. Now, if you're living in garbage, then of course you're going to think lowly of yourself, and you're going to end up like Miss Emily said, walking around with matted hair. You don't think of nothing of yourself. You think you just, you know, so those kind of things, you know. So the Skid Row Brigade, you know, is part of that movement where we don't just sit around and wait till June to do anything. During the year, we're doing other stuff, you know what I'm saying? You know, the Funky Trash Can campaign, then we turn around and we did clean up the streets of Skid Row for 8 months, day and night. Also doing the mural, you know. And, you know, this is all kind of stuff we got on mind right now, you know, but we don't tell everything, but that's basically what the brigade is. It's a special unit of OGs and Services.
Okay. Now, one of the persons that was very important to Drama Stage it was Leslie Taplin. And we met Leslie at a 3-on-3 basketball game in South Park when you guys went up there to play. And I think Jan Perry was out there.
Yeah.
And that's the first time we met Leslie. And then it turns out that I find out, because I was working on this play about Marcus Garvey, and she pulled me to the side and she sent me out some information that surprised me, because I found out that 10 years earlier, Leslie and a writing partner had wrote a screenplay on Marcus Garvey. They went all the way to Jamaica, and they got it all the way to the top producer, but they turned it down because they didn't want two white people dealing with a black nationalist like Marcus Garvey.
Well, that's
but
true,
we really got close, man. She was a wonderful person.
Yeah, Leslie was my mentor. I met Leslie. She wanted to do a Father's Day event with me. And for about 6 months, we communicated over the emails. I had met her, and that's how I got to know her, through our emails and everything. Then Leslie, when she brought all these dictionaries, Spanish dictionaries, and you know, later on she like Ron brought books, you know, and she was the one that showed me that a lot of people, homeless people that sleep on the street, be reading. They be reading, you know, back in there, you know, on TV. So
yeah.
And so you know, she got into that, you know, and then when the league started, she used to come down and take pictures. You know, she always tell me, you know, I'm not a professional. She would take all these pictures and give them to me, but she also took the pictures and she shared them with people on the other side of Main Street. That's how all the law people began to know about the league, because of Leslie. So mm-hmm. Leslie, you know, she always give me a lot of credit, but Leslie's the reason why the two worlds start coming together, mm-hmm. you know, from one side to the other. So, and there's a lot of other things about Leslie did a lot of stuff for us that she never wanted people to know. You know, we didn't have this and needed mm-hmm. this. Leslie would go out and get it for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just told me is a surprise, but also I found out later on after Leslie passed, that's why we hold a Leslie Kaplan Classic that's part of the league. That Leslie people had a publishing company.
Yeah.
You know, so she was yeah. involved with Peace in the Hood, me getting Peace in the Hood larger and changing some of the grammar and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, her spirit still lives on. That's why we hold to the line of the discipline that we try to instill yeah. in the men, you know, because she was a great example.
Yeah, she was. Okay, we're going to come back. At this particular time, I want to turn it over to Ms. Earlene Anthony for our community calendar.
This is the community calendar for April. Saturday, April the 7th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. This is known as World Health Day in Los Angeles. You'll get a chance to meet Olympic athletes in an Olympic-themed game for kids. There will be free health education and screening for cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, bone and dental care, and much, much more. It's a family-friendly entertainment, and activities will be going on all day. And this is a collaboration of many organizations in the area. The location of this event is the Los Angeles Expo Center next to the Coliseum, 3980 Bill Robertson Lane, Los Angeles. The contact information, 323-865-0419. And on Thursday, April the 12th, from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., Drama Stage Qumran will participate in the Arts Walk. Some of the exhibits will be from the United University Church. The Peace Kids will be exhibiting peace art. Also, the Downtown Women's Center will be displaying some of their photographs. And many, many more artists will be exhibiting their art. And from 7 to 10 p.m. on the same day, the Arts Walk will have spoken word, open mic, and live music. The band Passion will be playing, and they're from the downtown area. The location is home of the Garrick Morris Comedy Club, The Exchange, 114 West Fifth Street. For more information on this event, you can call 323-850-4436. And this is Save the Date. Saturday, April the 28th, marked the 20th anniversary of the 1992 Los Angeles Rebellion. You're cordially invited to attend a unit, rally, and block party. Keynote speaker will be Maxine Waters. Also speaking on the event will be Georgiana Williams. And we're going to have more information coming up in the next few weeks. And on Sunday, April the 29th, Drama Stage Qumran will be performing a dramatic reading of Memos from the War on Terror, from the script Reckoning with Torture. The location of this event will be the Neighborhood Unitarian Church of Pasadena, 301 North Orange Grove. For information on this event, 323-850-4436. And if you have a community event that you would like announce on our show, just send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com, attention Earlene Anthony. And once again, our call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our hosts.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Earlene Anthony. Now, we're back with our in-studio guest, Manuel OG Man Capito. Before we continue our conversation, I would like to play a short poem by Donald Bakir, who had a book signing entitled I Too Can Create Light at the Exchange, Sunday, March the 18th, 2012. And then we will continue with our discussion.
You are greater than that. You are greater than that. Listen to where it is really at. Your blood is polluting our soil. Your lust need not keep your blood it boil. Your blood is polluting our soil. Your lust need not keep your blood it boil. Call them 8 trains and rolling 60s. Yeah, call them all the O's. Call them 9 O's. Call them rolling 100s. Yeah, call them 8 train movers and 7 gold movers and 5 down movers and 5 dudes movers. Call them 11 dudes movers. Call them rolling 30 Harlem crabs. Call them East Coast. Call them 696 dudes East Coast. Call them Watch scripture, too, called Grave Street. Yeah, called Bloods, too, called Mountain Hunters and Swamp. Called BNGs, Denver Lanes, and Rolling 20s. We need you. Called all NHBs and NHCs. We want you. We love you. Yeah. Going to jail does not prove your bravery. Jail is 21st century slavery.
That's all it is.
Going to jail does not prove your bravery. Be what's for centuries been trapped inside of you. Be governor, captain, neighborhood star. But you must learn to love peace and hate war.
That's right. That's right.
It's God inside of you. He's calling you to. Calling all Crips, calling all Bloods, calling all Crips. We need you, we want you, we love you. Call out Chris.
Yeah, Donald Bakir talking about the Crips and the Bloods to stop killing each other and work together for the good of the community. Now, I'm back in the studio with OG, man. What is the key in getting the Crips, the Blood, and Bloods, I think you mentioned a little of it early, to work together in the 3-on-3 basketball league?
The main ingredient is simply respect. It boils down to just that respect.
Mm-hmm.
In the book that I wrote, Peace of the Hood, it talks about if dogs and cats can live together, so can Bloods and Crips. Those of us that's pet owners know dogs and cats can live together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about respect. Some years ago, when I got extradited back out here, I was out in Compton, and I was listening to some young gangbangers, you know, and they was talking about they didn't like this neighborhood, that neighborhood, because they killed their uncle, they killed their cousin and stuff like that. And a lot of them claim that, you know, they're soldiers and stuff like that. But when you're in a war, people are going to die. And you can't take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times they take it personal and they hold these grudges for decades. You know, I'm going to hate these people for the rest of my life. You know, you can't have it both ways. You can't join a war and then take it personal. You know, even around the world today, you look over the Middle East, people are trying to make peace. At some point, you're going to have to try to make peace. So it's going to have to be a degree of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we found out in the league was, These different people from different neighborhoods, I don't care if you're from Chicago, New York, I don't care if you're from West Coast, East Coast. What happens is once you start respecting each other, you find out you got more in common than you got differences. And this is why when we talked about the Skid Row Artist Collective, you know, the rappers, you know, we got rappers that's Bloods and Crips that rap together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what happens is once they respect each other, they find they got more in common. And it goes back to what we talked about, the words of the week. One of the words is camaraderie, friends, you know, respect. So that's the main ingredient. If you can respect a person, then you'll find you got more in common with them and you better do more things with them.
Okay. I think we better, I know I want to get a question in with Tyrone. Well, a question for Tyrone and Earl. And then we want to go into, maybe we'll go into our ether section now. And then we have a little time to catch some questions at the end.
It's Monday night, 15 minutes to 9, and you are listening to Voices from the Ether. Tonight's segment, recorded performances captured by Drama Stage's Blind Faith Productions. You can find the video on YouTube. Just do a search for Homeless Eye or DSQ TV. The first performance is a duet played by Night and Day, classical guitar duet featuring a good friend of mine named Marlon Brewer. This was captured live at the Midnight Mission's third annual 2008 talent show. This is all part of bringing some culture, waking up the cultural scene in Skid Row. For those interested, there's a thing called MakeMusicLA.org. You might want to look them up at www.MakeMusicLA.org. And now, our featured artists, Night and Day. That was Night and Day performing live at the Midnight Mission's third annual talent show back in 2008. So if you need more information about Make Music LA, visit the website www.makemusicla.com. Also meeting once a month, Patty Berman from D-Lank. They've got a committee together to help form a group of talent that can be displayed around various venues in the Old Bank District and during art walks. So if you're interested, please contact Miss Patty Berman at patty.berman@dlank.com. And now, that ends tonight's episode of Voices from the Ether. I return the mic back to our fearless host, Mr. Melvin Ishmael Johnson.
Thank you, Tyrone. Yeah, I want. Well, we still got a couple minutes before we fade out, so I want to start over here with Miss Emily. Just a quick little closing comment and give us your contact information.
Okay, great. And I thank you once again, Melvin, for having me on the show. And along with the Grooming for Success that we provide for the homeless and for the vets down in Skid Row, we also provide the job creation for those who are part of the realignment. And there are so many of them being released down in Skid Row. So with Natural Beauty Solutions, we are providing a lot of services. You can reach us at emily'sbeauty@aol.com. Also at 310-940-7956. And we'd love to have you donate some of the things that are needed to help us with our Grooming for Success, such as clippers and towels, combs, brushes, styling chairs, and just donations to help us to service the vets and the homeless and those coming out of prison so that they can be uplifted and inspired to go out and restart their life and also to feel good about themselves. So we thank you once again for having me on your show.
Yeah, thank you, Miss Emily. And we definitely be getting in contact with you about helping us out with the vet stand down coming up.
Absolutely. We'd love to do it, and we look forward to being a part of it.
All right. Coach Ron.
Hey, once again, thank you, young man. Coach Ron in the house, the one and only, making it happen live and in color right here in downtown Los Angeles, Skid Row. And what we do, clearly, is seeking volunteers. I mean, it's all about the 50,000 book giveaway we do, and we like to bring it to your community. We provide free books to all the kids. Okay, we need volunteers to come out and read out loud to the kids every Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. in West L.A. So if you'd like to get involved, you'd like to donate books, see me, the one and only Coach Ron, 626-277-3457. Thank you once again, young man.
Yeah, quickly, we got the OG. Give us about 30 seconds.
Well, I just want to send a shout out to everybody, Skid Row Unit, College Division, General Jeff, you know, the Skid Row 3-on-3 Basketball League, or everybody that's in the Skid Row Artists Collective, you know, G-Nut, you know, Chucky B, and the whole Skid Row community, really. You know, we love y'all. You want to get in touch with me, you know, OG, InService, LA3, @yahoo.com. Go, those who want to get involved with the basketball portion of our program, just go to www.skidrowstreetballleague.webs.com.
Okay. And then we also got Lynn, but I'm going to have to close out. Glad to have you here with us also, Lynn. And I would like to extend a special thanks to our in-studio guest, Manuel OG Man Capito. Coach Ron, Miss Emily, Lynn Rossi, on the line with Georgiana Williams, and my co-host, Tyrone Robinson and Earlene Anthony, and a special thanks to Jeremy, Sonia, and the Skid Row Studios. You can check out our past shows.